Food City makes it easy to shop your way. Just pick up your groceries curbside or have them delivered directly to your home. So whether you need weekly groceries or just a quick meal, Food City's got you covered. From their doors to yours.
Welcome into the Eric Haines Show. 9:03, good Tuesday morning, right here on The Sports Animal. Brian Rice, Logan Ward, myself, EA. Hope everyone had a great day yesterday. Going to make it another one today.
Logan, your mailbox is full. I just got the email from last night that said you couldn't get the rundown. So
I cleared it out this morning because that was the same problem this morning with Tyler and Will.
Ah, good job.
Nice. It's on me. It's on me.
What was,
if you need help with your email, I'm available after noon.
Right.
What was in there?
A bunch of traffic updates. All those MP3 files just bog it down.
Yeah.
Tinder notifications.
We're good, though. That's the personal email.
My bad.
Some videos that have been sent. You know.
Excuse me. Let's just try to have a cuss-free Eric Haines Show today.
We typically do. Somebody else not?
We had, Logan, what happened?
Yeah, someone let one slip during the game. It's okay. Not a big deal.
Yeah, no.
Did that person win?
He did.
Well, that's not okay.
We dumped it. It was all good.
It doesn't matter. You can't come back and win after you've had to use the dump button.
Hey, everybody makes mistakes. And he, in his defense, had no idea what the question was.
What was the question?
Oh, it was like the first quarterback taken in a mock draft from CBS Sports for the 2023 quarterback from Ohio State, Stroud.
Yeah, I could guess all day. Not know
it was
that.
Easy. Really?
Yeah.
CJ Stroud?
He's not going to be the first one picked.
If you
the first
gave,
quarterback?
If you gave
okay.
me
May,
a list of five maybe. Quarterbacks in five schools, I might connect CJ Stroud to Ohio State.
Okay, we'll keep this going for a second. The same mock draft. First SEC quarterback taken, could you guess it?
Will Levis.
Yeah, okay.
At 1,000%. That's dumb, and whoever takes him is going to regret it, but he is going to be the first one drafted because he's a pro-style-ish guy, and they like the pro-style system. He ran at Kentucky last year, although they have a new OC this year who's going to try to run like the Wish.com version of what the guy last year was running. So Will Levis's numbers will probably be trash. And he'll go back to being a fifth or sixth round quarterback like he is.
What you learn about the NFL draft every year is no matter who they say the first couple quarterbacks are going to be, it never ends up happening like that.
Well, everybody had Kenny Pickett as the first quarterback selection this year.
Nobody had. Who was the other one that went second?
Malik Willis.
Yeah.
Desmond Ridder.
Yeah.
He's terrible. He's going to be bad. Malik Willis is a project. This draft class at least has like what you could argue are potential good quarterbacks in the NFL. I'm not sold on Kenny Pickett either. But I've been on the record saying that forever.
Yeah, I'm not projecting that they're going to be successful. It was just everybody was in agreement that he was going to be the first one taken, and he was. So it doesn't. Predicting what's going to happen and predicting that they're having success are two different things.
That's fair.
There's nobody in this quarterback draft class that I would draft to be the face of my franchise.
No way.
It doesn't change the fact that some of them needed to draft a quarterback and did.
And they always do. I was proud of the NFL for not getting overhyped on the quarterbacks this year.
Yeah, well,
normally they do.
People know what they're looking at. I think even marginal football fans looked at that draft class and knew that none of those guys are superstars. So you can't fake it, because if the NFL starts pushing them, then everybody's looking around going, they're not that good.
Yeah, but they get excited about big arm athletic quarterbacks every year and draft them too high.
Yeah, it just didn't really apply to this draft. On that note, we take a look at the game plan. So Brew McCoy,
dude,
is committed to Tennessee, something that many felt was on its way to happening for a while.
He needs an NIL deal with the word bruh McCoy on it. That's what he needs. He's really, really good. COVID year, I just watched all his highlights last night, and I watched him again this morning. The dude runs every route. He runs tunnel screens. He runs little zip routes. He runs slant routes, corner routes, out cuts, go routes, deep post routes. He's 6'3", 220, and he can do everything. He's really good.
Tennessee baseball last night broke the single-season home run record of Tennessee.
With a lot of baseball to play.
Yeah, it's the first week of May.
This team will
be playing for at least another month.
A lot of baseball to play. They're going to shatter it. I mean, unless something crazy happens, which after how many games? 41?
Yeah.
Right? 41 games?
44 games. 44 games.
44 games. After 44 games for them to already be breaking it is crazy.
In the 10 o'clock hour, big topic Wednesday, is Hendon Hooker a legitimate Heisman contender?
When your name gets put on the list, it's worth the conversation.
Josh Pate of 24/7 Sports went through some of the reasons why. He went into the mechanics of why he's being listed among Heisman contenders. Can he actually do it? Is he actually a contender?
Good conversation.
If Tennessee, the short answer to preview this conversation is, if Tennessee's good, how is he not?
How good do they have to be a contender? That's a question I'm going to pose. Because
we'll
you're right.
That.
I mean, if they're winning all the games they play and he's putting up crazy numbers, then you're a contender right off the bat.
We'll dive into that coming up in the 10 o'clock hour. Ryan Tannehill says it's not his job to mentor Malik Willis. There's some rich irony here, because if you go back and look at some of Ryan Tannehill's quotes from his rookie and second year, he credits how much help and guidance he received from Matt Moore. Tannehill ended up taking Moore's job in Miami.
Forgot about Matt Moore.
So when you consider the history, it doesn't make sense for him to take that stance, and I
don't agree with what he's saying either. Now, here's part of it. Whether he doesn't want to mentor him or he does is semi-irrelevant, because Malik Willis will be watching every single thing he does.
Mm-hmm.
So whether Aaron Rodgers wants to mentor Jordan Love, you are. Just by being there and being the starter and playing and having the knowledge and experience and skill set to do it, you are mentoring them. Every player on the team who's a starter mentors the backup.
Yeah.
Even if they don't want to. That's why jobs get taken all the time in the NFL. That's part of the, everyone always says it's a business, because there's rarely loyalty. There is some. Sometimes they let guys play too long. You know, Big Ben played a little too long. But did he earn it? I mean, the NFL doesn't normally operate like that. They do maybe at quarterback every once in a while, a couple other positions, but he's going to mentor him whether he likes it or not.
Yeah.
Now, when he comes to him with a question, hey, Tannehill, you just did blank. I thought we were supposed to do blank. Why did you do that? Is Tannehill not going to answer him? Because if that is his approach, then he's a total loser.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm out on that.
I'm not all that in
on Tannehill, period.
I was 50-50 on Tannehill anyway. Like, he's fine, but
he has a purpose. He's not a bad player at all.
This makes me not a Ryan Tannehill fan at all.
Now, do you tell him to meet you there at 6 a.m. for 2 hours of film study so you can teach him how to take your job? No, I wouldn't expect him to. Nobody does that. That's what they have position coaches for.
But he also doesn't have to say publicly, I'm not going to mentor him. It's not my job.
No, that's a B move.
All right, well.
That's a B move.
Ryan Tannehill's off my list.
He was hardly on mine.
He was barely on it, but he's off it now. Jacksonville Jaguars owner Shad Khan has thoughts on Fox hiring Urban Meyer. Can't wait to tell you what he said later on. And our VFL and the NBA update is a relatively short one, but boy, is it a big one after last night.
My goodness. Watched every second of the game.
The announcers were all over Grant Williams and his performance last night.
He's incredible. He is like NBA Defensive Player of the Year candidate good next year.
He has made himself an incredible amount of money with how he's played the last month of the season.
I don't care how much money's in his bank account right now. He is going to be so rich.
The next time he signs a contract, it is going to be a massive one. Tennessee Fund Online 1.
I was about to say, need a new locker room type money.
There are fine folks at the Tennessee Fund watching that game last night going, oh, yes.
Fund, yes. Peyton Manning fund scholarships type money.
Yeah.
He's going to get it. I hope. See, here's my only thing with him. He's playing so good.
Yeah.
That I hope the Celtics don't take the approach of we can get so much for him.
Yeah.
Because NBA teams do that.
They do.
They also say, no, we need him on our team. I hope they err on the side of saying, Grant Williams, we need him on our team. I think Brad Stevens values the kind of player he is so much that he's not going anywhere.
With all the marginal guys that we've talked about over the years in the summer when these deals end up getting signed and we have time to talk about them, with all the marginal guys that have gotten max contracts over the years.
He's legit worth the money.
Grant Williams is giving you something.
He even scored a couple two-pointers in traffic, too.
Yeah.
He's playing with so much confidence, it's ridiculous.
The only thing he did bad was when he missed that three-pointer from the corner where they gave him all day, and then he took the dribble. He stopped, was like, wait, was there no whistle?
1,001. Okay. 1,002. You miss that every time. Yeah, you miss it every time.
So bad.
Every time.
Otherwise, though.
Playing great.
All that and more coming up today on the Eric Haines Show, and that's the game plan. It's laid out for you every day by our friends at 42nd Street.
Mike Carlton, he's the biz owner. He wants to help other business owners looking for those business relationships to help your company take the next step. How does he do that? Again, by helping you win the internet. You win the internet, you win the new customer battle. You win the new customer battle, more money in the bank, grow your company. Again, 42ST.com.
The Eric Haines Show rolls on next on 99.1 The Sports Animal. Tennessee has a new wide receiver, Brew McCoy. Coming to Tennessee from USC, when you see his film, what do you think?
So he's 6'3", 220, and he runs what I would say, it looks like he's a legit 4'4 guy. He runs by people. He runs. So USC, when he was playing for him in 2020, they sent him on corner routes, hitch routes, slant routes, RPO stay routes, like we threw Velus last year all the time. Dig routes over the middle, little drag routes to catch and break tackles, straight up go routes. He's got strong hands. He's got incredible burst. He's a sick route runner. Call it pastry. It's what you put on the top. It's just a little extra when you're making your breaks in these different routes. And he's really good. Most big young guys that are fast and athletic like that, they just run. You know, you tell them to run 10 yards and then run to the corner. And they run 10 yards and they run to the corner, and that's all they do. He'll run 10 yards and go, and then stick his foot in the ground and go to the corner. And it doesn't change the trajectory and the timing of the throw because he's fast enough to get to the spot he needs to get to. You poke holes in his game. It's hard in a highlight film to see how he run blocks. So as a five-star guy who's that big, some of them love it because they go beast dudes. Some of them just want the rock. Here's the thing. I don't really care which one he is, because if you're that talented, and he seems like there's some other stuff, you know, that you've got to work through, keep him dialed in, focused on football only. There seems to be a little bit of that there. I don't know how much, but there's some clearly. That would be the one knock, I think, on him, because when you just watch him play, there's no knocks. He looks like when you get a five-star wide receiver who's that big and that fast, there really is no reason why they shouldn't be good. It's why he played as a freshman at USC. I think they played six games. He had 21 catches and a couple touchdowns and averaged 11 or 12 yards a catch. He's a beast. Gosh, I mean, you put him on the outside. He's also athletic enough. They moved him around, even as a freshman. He plays in the slot. He plays outside. He plays in the stack. He plays everywhere. If you can't tell, I'm really excited about his ceiling. His upside is just tremendous.
When you're 6'3", 225, you can play just about anywhere.
Yeah,
he seems normally, to play bigger
normally,
than
but
that.
Like Tillman's really big. I wouldn't put Tillman in the slot if my life depended on it. He's an outside guy, and that's think of the value he has for us. Just being an outside guy, but being that big and that versatile that he can catch a lot of different routes. See, the difference is Tillman, and we'll see this year, he's shredded up a little bit. I think we're going to see a different Cedric Tillman. I know we're talking about Hendon Hooker in the 10 o'clock hour for Big Topic Wednesday, but Cedric Tillman might be the guy that I'm the most intrigued by. Just about every ball he caught last year was in traffic. In traffic. And that doesn't mean you're not good. The ability to catch the ball in traffic is harder.
Yeah.
To do that than it is to catch it when you're clear. But he's not clear because he can't separate from anybody. So the fact that's why I've always said those things, like, he shouldn't be as good as he is. He doesn't ever separate from people unless it's like scheme dictated that no one's covering him. He's running by himself down the sideline. But he rarely separates, yet he catches everything. Incredible. He's a great player. The difference with him and Brew McCoy has 4-4 burst. So he separates from guys. When he sticks his foot in the ground and cuts, the DBs are still backpedaling and flipping their hips and running deep because they're worried he's going to run right by him.
Right.
He's catching these speed cut outs, comebacks, little hitch routes, slants. He's catching all these things, and the DB's nowhere near him. Now, if you have good makeup speed, you can catch up to a guy even when he still go make a tackle, but he breaks a ton of tackles. So you look at, so as far as Josh Heupel and Alex Golish are concerned, when you have a player like that, that can do everything, and he can do everything well, he does some things better. Clearly everybody does some things the best, but when you get a guy that can do everything, holy nightmare, Batman, for the other team trying to decide how they're going to defend him. And then you put him on a team playing that fast, he's going to play against single coverage all the time. We run the football too well for teams to just say, we're playing single high man and we're going to challenge him at the line. I would welcome that with our receivers as anyway.
Yeah.
But he's going to be playing against often off coverage, zone, basic. They're already snapping the ball again. We can't change the defense. They're already snapping the ball again. We can't change the defense. And he's just going to be out there having eaten them for lunch. Again, I don't know if everybody listening can hear it in my voice. Do I get this excited about prospects?
You don't
prospects?
Get excited about players ever.
Ever. This one I am very excited about.
I think it needs to be mentioned, though, he's got some baggage coming with him.
No, and I said that.
Yeah,
he's
only played 6 games his college career, didn't play at all last year.
He didn't play all last year for that reason.
Yeah.
100%. But if you assume...
If he plays, he's going to be phenomenal. Tennessee got better yesterday.
If you assume that the reasons he didn't play last year, he learned from it, and he's not going to have that issue anymore, if you assume you're getting freshman him, dialed in him... If that's the assumption, and I don't think Tennessee and Josh Heupel take him if they're like overly concerned about that.
Well, I think you also take him and say, we have guys on our roster that we can go in with. We would like to have you. Here's how we would use you, but you will not hold us hostage.
Yeah, no, absolutely not.
And I think that can help motivate a guy when he comes into a situation knowing that that's the case. You don't have to say, well, you guys have to have me, so you guys have to treat me however I want to be treated, or I get to do whatever I want.
No.
That was very clearly not the pitch they made. It was, here's how you'd fit into our offense. We would love to have you. We are not going to change anything we do for you.
We have said this since Cedric Tillman and Velas kind of blew up last year, but that will help them with receivers. When you sit down and you show or you have the conversation with Brew McCoy, look at Cedric Tillman. Look at the numbers he put up. He'd never done anything. Look at what he did last year. Okay? And then Brew McCoy sits there and goes, I'm twice as athletic as that dude. And I'm bigger. I'm bigger and I'm faster. And he's going to think, I am better than him. And you're going to look at that and go, so what could you do here? The system alone is going to get a guy like Brew McCoy.
Yeah.
Several catches a game for umpteen yards and a touchdown. So I do think that's, you know, you look at the how it works. It works because you say, our system with you in it, who's going to cover you? Who's gonna guard you? Because they got to guard the guys on the other side. They got to stop the run. You're going to be playing against one guy often. So what one guy is going to guard you? He just went in the draft from LSU. There's not a lot of guys that can just go. And again, 6'3", 225, you're not playing bump and run against him anyway. You're not going to win the battle at the line of scrimmage against a guy like that. Whew. Let's go.
Later on, I'll ask you about this. What I want to see from him and what I hope he has coming up a little later on in the show. 656-9900-866. 656-9900. More on Brew McCoy, more on Tennessee football, and more on Vol baseball hidden dingers coming up on the Eric Haines Show on the Sports Animal.
Of them.
Right.
So I trust through this point in time Josh Heupel's judgment on that. And I don't know that, you know, who knows how it'll end up, but I trust his judgment on that. And here's the thing, too. I don't know how you couldn't have a chip on your shoulder. Because you know you're that good.
Always.
21 catches in 6 games as a true freshman. Baller.
He is aware of how good he is.
He was good immediately. Like when you're that good, you come in and you play and you're that dynamic immediately. That team had a lot of good pass catchers on it too. And they still found ways to get him the ball often. I don't know how you don't have a chip on your shoulder. Because, A, you know how good you are. You know, maybe the only hesitation that you have on him is things happen in life and it changes people. Now, not usually at that young of an age. But does that define him? Is he more worried about all that? Or is he more worried about just being a good football player? You also have to take the approach. A lot of times that happens at humbles guys. And then they really get good. Then they really get good. You know, you're out there as a freshman, 5-star, just balling. You know you're the man. And then you get humbled a little bit. Then it makes or breaks you. And I think you'll see that. We won't know that until we watch him play here. But he seems like the kind of guy that, especially Josh Heupel, I mean, look what they've done with some of the players who didn't, I don't want to say had attitude problems, learned behavior that football wasn't what they thought it was. A guy like Jeremy Banks. That to me, too, even if you're a little like, we don't really know, but we have all the confidence in the world that we will get out of him, that we will be the ones that get it out of him.
Right.
And that's part of it, too. You have to deal with that with regular recruits coming out of high school.
For people that aren't aware, Brew McCoy was arrested July 24th of last year on domestic violence charges. The L.A. District Attorney declined to file criminal charges in an announcement they made about a month later, on August 25th, they announced that they were not pursuing charges against him, and everything was dropped. USC did not reinstate him. He remained suspended from all team activities as the school conducted its own review, and he did not return to the team. I don't know if he was eligible to return to the team. I haven't been able to determine exactly what his status would have been and had he wanted to stay. I think Lincoln Riley coming in probably changes it into, this is probably a time for a clean break. I don't know that. I haven't been able to find anything one way or the other on that.
It's a safe assumption.
So, I don't think that, if that's the only thing that he's had, and I agree with you, I think Josh Heupel and his staff did all their due diligence to make sure that this was somebody who they wanted to bring in, because again, they didn't have to have him. You are set at wide receiver without Brew McCoy. You're really, really good at the position with him. And so when you're in that position, I think you can be a little more careful. And I don't think they would have pursued him the way they did had they not felt comfortable about what they found after a review of everything that's gone on with him. It's still there. So my question is, does it give him an edge, or is it something to worry about? Or is it both?
I'm not going to worry about it. I think I will have a somewhat of a wait and see approach, but I think he'll be able to tell that very early in his career. I don't think that's not something that you're going to have to wait around. And you know what? If the district attorney drops all the charges against you,
you have no reason not to take it.
Exactly. And then if you're him, but the school has to do their own investigation and you're 19 years old, 20 years old, and your hands are in the air and you're going, They dropped the charges. Why can't I play?
Yeah, what do I have to do?
Why am I not reinstated? They dropped the charges. Clearly, I don't want to say it wasn't true, but it wasn't enough for them to go on. So they dropped the charges, and then in your mind, you're going, so why can't I play?
Right.
That's the common sense approach to it. So that alone would make a kid want to transfer.
Yeah.
You know, and then you have to sit there and watch your team, and you don't get to play, and you disassociate a little bit. I think that happens with a lot of players. It happens when they get hurt. It happens if they get suspended. It happens if they just get beat out instead of sticking it out and saying, I'm going to do it. You know, they lose the rah-rah team Trojan for life. I don't even know what they call it. They probably shouldn't. Regardless, though, I think he will have something to prove because he's only played 1 year of college football, and anybody who's only played 1 year of college football has a lot to prove.
Yeah.
I don't have negative vibes about him coming in here at all. You know, looking into that yesterday, talking to some people, watching his film, I am very, very excited for this guy to get here. So I've been wrong before, but when you watch him play, whew, my goodness. We don't have a player like him on our team. That, you know, like, and you mentioned it, we have some good receivers on this team. We do. We don't have a guy like that.
No, and I'm not saying that Tennessee does. I'm just saying the wide receiver room without him is one that you still could have felt good about going into this season.
Well, look at how good they were last year with Velus and Tillman on opposite sides 80% of the time.
The wide receiver room with him is one of the best in the conference.
And he's again, he's not just good because he's big and he can go deep.
Right.
He's good because he's big and he can run everything. And his route running ability is much more mature than his age and his experience is. Most guys that big and that fast, they're not super crisp, clean route runners too, and he is. So credit USC some for coaching him up as a freshman, but when you're a freshman, you come in and you can run routes like that, that's because you can run routes like that.
Right.
And that is very, very rare.
According to the story on his departure from USC from the LA Times, the internal USC investigation was never completed.
Don't blame him for wanting to leave then.
And he is the third USC player to leave after charges had been dropped, but the USC Office of Equity, Equal Opportunity and Title IX never completed an full investigation.
Do you blame him for wanting to leave then?
I don't. When you're talking about something that happened in July and in January, you've missed an entire season and it's still not cleared. The incident was in July. The criminal charges were dropped at the end of August and the investigation was never completed. I don't think you have a choice but to leave because you literally have no idea. According to the LA Times, two other players left for the transfer portal this year after also facing an internal USC investigation that had left their status unclear.
That's just unacceptable to me. Listen, if it takes a few months and they don't get to play, you know, like, and you're sitting there going, I didn't get to play because they didn't get that done, you're probably leaving anyway.
Yeah.
But then the season's over and he's still 2 months later, it's still not done.
Yeah.
And you're going, do I get to go to spring practice?
Yeah,
do I get to play next year?
Yeah.
Those are rational, you know, you're connecting the dots there. I don't blame him for wanting to leave. So, I think the bigger red flag on it, because I understand all of that. That makes sense to me why he would want. It's not a red flag even. Like, young people, they want to leave, right? They go somewhere. He's from, where's he from? I can't remember where he's from. Is it Texas? Oh, is he from LA?
Yeah, he's from
That's there. Right. So he goes from USC to
transfer
Texas
to Texas
briefly, and then wants to go back.
He's been in the portal three times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but again, a lot of kids, if they may not pull the trigger on that. You know how many freshmen in college go to college and then say, I want to get out of here? And then go, oh, no, I don't. I want to go home.
Yeah.
I can even connect the dots on that. Listen, he's got, gosh, I'll shut up after this.
Yeah, he's from Santa Ana, California, Mater Dei High School.
So there's a lot of players that are that good that have some stuff going on.
Sure.
I think he is, it's fair to say, Brew McCoy, he's got some stuff going on. Guess what a lot of those players do? they freaking kill it. They're football players, and they're great at it. And you have to manage the stuff.
And
That's part of the job of the coaches.
A lot of them fix the stuff.
Yes. And hell, even if they don't fix it, they keep it at bay and they manage it, and they're just awesome football players. So I'm really excited about this guy.
I think he has an opportunity to change Tennessee's offense completely.
He's that talented.
From an offense, by the way, that was going to be really good without
him. I would have loved to throw him the football. He kind of reminds me of Meacham a little bit. He's taller and he's a little bigger. That's scary.
Those are two positives in that conversation.
But he can run everything.
Yep. All right, welcome back. Tennessee baseball hitting dingers at a record pace. That's next on the Eric Haines Show.
865-656-9900 if you want to join us here on the Eric Haines Show. We hit radio bombs.
Yeah.
We don't drop them. We hit them.
Yeah.
Not the only team hitting bombs around.
No, Tennessee baseball has a new home run record. It's May 4th. They did it on May 3rd. And they did it on probably the least impressive home run of the year. It and John initially didn't think it was out because it bounced back onto the field, but hit above the yellow line for a home run. And Tennessee now has 108. Previous program record was 107, set in 1998 in 56 games. This happened in the 44th game.
I mean, it's just another, we say this, but every week this team continues to play, there are more, this has never been done before stats. Mm-hmm. You know, not just in homers. Clearly, home runs and wins would be the first two that you would think of.
Sorry, it was in the 45th game, 45th, not the 44th game.
45th.
But still, the previous record was in 56.
Which is incredible in itself. But, man, they better start checking those bats again. Better check that bat. You know, one thing that I'll give our team, so here, our team, we are really good home run hitters. We are. The majority of home runs we hit go a few feet over the fence. And I'm not, the majority of them do. I'm not saying that they're not good, they're hitting home runs, so you have to say they're good home run hitters.
Right.
I'm more taking the approach of they're really good hitters. And they have power, therefore the ball goes over the fence. But we don't have guys that are dinger or strikeout guys. They all hit for a high average.
Yeah.
They're hitting every type of single, double, and sprinkle a triple in there every once in a while. But they drive runs in. They string hits together and score runs. It's not like the only way this team can score runs is if they hit homers. There have been some games like that. They have had some games where they hit two homers, they score three or four runs, and it's a tight, good thing the pitching's so good, and it's a tight win. But my long-winded point of saying all of this is we are just really good at every facet of baseball. There's nothing in our team that you go, well, if that doesn't get better, we don't have a chance in the postseason. They're good at everything. Better at some stuff, but they're good at everything.
So 108 home runs extrapolates out to 2.4 per game. Or it is an average of 2.4 per game. If you do the math, in a 56-game schedule, like in 1998, they would hit 134 home runs. Tennessee last year, making it to the College World Series, played 68 games. If Tennessee continues on this pace, which a lot of those games on the back end will be more difficult.
Okay. Well, so I'll take it with a grain of salt, but go ahead.
But they've also hit a ton of dingers in SEC play against really good pitching. If they continue this pace throughout the season.
Don't say it.
And play 68.
Don't say it.
Like last year. They would hit 163 home runs.
Oh my gosh, dude.
163.2 to be exact.
That is just fake news.
It's true. It's
fake news.
I did the math.
People listening right now are saying they better play more than 68 games.
Well, if you play, Yeah, you'd want to. Okay, so Tennessee was 0-2 barbecue in Omaha last year. So you add, let's say you win those first two. You have a semi game that's 69. You have, let's just say, a couple games in the championship series. Let's not even push it to three. So that's 71. 71 games times 2.4 per game.
172.
170.4.
Whoa.
You want that 0.4 of a
need that 0.4. It's a disappointment. Need that 0.4.
Dingers.
They're ridiculous, dude. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Hidden dingers.
You know why they hit so many?
They're good.
Fair. They're incredible plate discipline. They don't swing at balls. They force you to throw it over the plate.
I agree. Hour number two coming up next.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.